chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 9. Read that with me, would you? God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Read those first three words again. God is faithful. I want you to read it one more time, but I want you to emphasize the word is. God is faithful. And you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. That's my message today. God bless you. Come back tonight. I'm just kidding. That really is my message, but I'm going to expound on it just a little bit, as you can imagine. God is faithful. Faithful means true to one's word or promises or vows. Faithful. Reliable. Trusted. Believed. Faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He'll do it because God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. How? Why? For he is. You are going to help me preach this today? For he is faithful that promised. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. John says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, the white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful. I want you to catch that. It's a capital F and a capital T. It means that God is so faithful and so true that they went ahead and ascribed to him the very name faithful. He is so inseparable from faithfulness that we can just say that his name is faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. We are serving a faithful God. It wasn't long ago that the Lord showed me some things, and he showed me that the reason that so many people struggle, because I was wrestling with this issue of so many people who seem to struggle relationally with God. And he showed me that the reason why so many people struggle relationally with God is because so many people really do struggle with trust issues. In a society, think about it, where marriages are just tossed aside and babies every single day are aborted because they were unplanned and unwanted. Abandoned children all over the place in our society. A society where a devoted worker can spend decades working a job for a company and then just be laid off and tossed aside because they found it more financially prudent to move their company overseas somewhere. And we're a people that are, think about it, we're let down by elected officials. We're betrayed sometimes by those who we think we can trust, like teachers. And sad to say, I'll even have to admit that way too often, sometimes we're just kind of let down by people who are in the ministry and in the clergy. In fact, the very sad truth of the matter is that we are a people who are quite frankly running out of people that we can really trust. And I will say that the unfortunate result of all of that is that we have become one of the most cynical societies in the world. We used to say, well, trust but verify. But anymore, we don't even trust. We just say we're going to verify and verify and verify, and we're so busy trying to verify that somebody's worthy of our trust that we never get around to trusting anybody. We're very cynical people. And here's the deal. Cynicism is extremely problematic for a people who are called to love and to serve an invisible God. And so my message this morning is really to emphatically reassure you. That's why I've been sent here, I believe. Is to just reassure you that no matter who in this world may have disappointed you, no matter who has let you down, no matter who has betrayed you, how many people have mishandled you, and who maybe has abused you, no matter who has lied or misrepresented or manipulated you, I've come to reassure a people today that God is faithful. Every man may be a liar, but God is faithful. And some people may let you down, but God is faithful. And people may mishandle you and lie to you and betray you, but I've come to reassure the church today that God is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is true. He is reliable. And you can put your faith in Him. Let the church say amen. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says that God is not a man. Here we go. We've got to deal with this issue. The reason why so many people struggle relationally with God is because our relationship with God, Brother Barrow, is that of a father and his children. It's a loving, merciful, gracious father and his undeserving children. And some of us cannot wrap our minds around the fact that he is not a man, that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should ever repent, because he never makes a mistake and he never does anyone wrong. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Listen, men may say it and not do it, but not our God. He's a faithful God. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? There are men who may speak it and not make it good. But I'm preaching about a God who is a faithful God. He can't even lie. He does not lie, but he cannot lie. And if he says it, he will do it. Come on, somebody. If it's in the book, you can go ahead and bank on it. If it's in the book, you can go ahead and trust God for it. I said, if it's in the book, if it's promised to us. Then it's going to happen. Because he's not a man that he should lie, and neither the Son of Man that he should repent. So we see so many fathers do their families wrong. So many husbands do their wives wrong. So many wives do their kids wrong. So many wives do their husbands wrong. We see so many people in places of authority mishandle their authority and abuse people that are subject to them, that our minds get warped and we bring that into that concept, that perception into our worship of God, into our relationship with God, so that there are people. I understand I'm not preaching to everybody, and I know that I'm not today. I know that my assignment is to some specific people. I don't know who, but I know it's not everyone. Maybe won't really be moved by this, but some of you are going to be very moved by the time we're done, because God has given me a word for you. You've got to stop bringing the warped concepts that you have with people into the altar. You've got to stop bringing the bias that you have against people. Some of us, we can't trust them. If we have to call them Mr. or Sir, we don't trust them because somebody else in authority in our life mishandled us, misrepresented us, lied to us. And so we just don't trust anybody. So we're trying to verify and make sure, we're trying to do background checks on everybody that comes into our life. That's your business. But I'm your pastor today. I'm telling you that when you come into the presence of the Lord, you better check all of that at the door, because our God doesn't need a background check. He's been proving himself from the very time he said, "Let there be light." And there was. He's proved himself from Genesis 1:1 all the way until now. And when God says, let it be, it is. And when God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And so he's a faithful God, worthy of our trust, worthy of our faith, worthy. I don't care if we get down to nobody in the world deserving it. God will always deserve our trust. Aren't you glad that you don't serve people? I mean, in the sense of worship. You don't serve a man to get to heaven. You don't have to rely on a man to forgive your sins. You don't have to rely on a man and his prejudices and biases that he might bring into the situation. You don't have to trust a man to say, okay, you're pardoned, but you're not pardoned, or we'll bring you to heaven, but because some of y'all be in trouble, wouldn't you? Too many people know too much. But God's not a man. We serve a faithful God. Go to John 8, just for a moment. To a very familiar story, a very moving story. Jesus is at the Mount of Olives, and in verse 2 of chapter 8 of John, we see that early in the morning he comes into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And here come those people. Brother Barrow was talking a little bit about those scribes and Pharisees, and they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And they set her in the midst of the people there. Can you imagine if this morning while I was preaching, there was some commotion? Think about this. And here come a group of men dragging a woman in and throw her down right up here in front of the pulpit and just tell all of us, everybody in the house, this woman, we caught her over here in these apartments over here or down in one of these homes down here, caught her in the very act of adultery. Got to get this on video. Do tell. It's a good thing there weren't smartphones in Jesus' day. Tell us all about it. What happened? Where'd you find her? Who was she with? What's her name? And they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. There's no question about it. We caught her. Now Moses said in the law, he commanded that such should be stoned. But what do you say? They're trying to trick Jesus here. Put him in between a rock and a hard place, so to speak. And so they said this, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus, he just stooped down and with his finger began to write on the ground as though he did not even hear them. You ought to be glad. Because I'll be honest with you, the devil's not the only accuser of the brethren sometimes. Oh, this is good preaching. You ought to be glad that there are times God does turn a deaf ear. Somebody comes up on me. And, Lord, what about this? And what about that? And the Lord just says, I'm not even going to listen to you. You don't understand grace. You don't understand mercy. You don't understand the power of the blood. Just ignores them. I don't know what he was writing or what he was doing. There's speculation. We won't go into that today. But he just, the Bible does let us know he was ignoring them. That irritated them. And so, they continued asking him, excuse me, Jesus. He lifted up himself and said unto them, okay, you want me to deal with it? Here we go. We'll take care of the matter. This is what we'll do. Whoever among you is without sin, he that is without sin among you, let him, here's a stone, first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, it's different when we start thinking about what we've done. Come on now. This is easy business, pointing our finger at everybody else. It's easy, and sometimes, you don't have to admit this, but sometimes it's almost fun. I knew nobody else would admit this. when you start blaming everybody else. Because as long as I'm doing this, I don't have to think much about this. Jesus, here she is. And you can always find somebody that's doing something a little worse than you. But did you ever think that somebody could come and grab you by the nape of the neck because you're doing something worse than they? Uh-huh. So be careful when you're tossing people down on the ground. Somebody might be walking up on you. Because Jesus has put it in perspective for them. All right, we can stone this woman to death, but here's what I want you to do. I want whoever, let's just start with the sinless person. And you can have the first throw of the first stone. Now they start thinking about themselves. Am I sinless? Let me think. And some of them had lust in their hearts. And some of them had lied. Some of them maybe had stolen. And they begin to think, I'm not without sin. And their own conscience, Jesus is a master here. Their own conscience begins to preach its own sermon to them. And they realize, the Bible says they were convicted by their own conscience. And so, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest to the last. Jesus was left alone. Now here we go. Here's where we can really start learning something. Now that all of these hypocrites and judgmental people and sanctimonious people are gone, now we can find out when Jesus starts dealing with the woman one-on-one. Let's see what Jesus does. And so, Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. Now, I've pointed this out before, but let me remind you that there was no one in that crowd that had, according to Jesus' words, that had the moral authority to cast that stone except one man. He holds the stone out and he says, All right, whoever's without sin, here you go. Starts writing. Maybe he still had the stone in his hand. I don't know. Starts writing in the dirt with the stone, whoever wants to take it. He looks around. Nobody's there to take the stone. He says to the woman, Are your accusers all gone? She said, Everybody's gone, Lord, just you. He can throw the stone. He can fulfill the edict of the Old Testament law and kill her. Her life is in his hands. And Jesus says unto her, now watch this, it all hinges right here in verse 11. Because our souls hang in the balance along with the woman. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. Can you say amen? So here she is. Let's think about this woman. She's used and abused. She's someone's fleeing. She's not good enough to marry, but she's good enough to commit sin with, apparently. So now add to that humiliation the shame of this public exposure. It's been a long time, maybe, since she has trusted anyone. And when you think about it, when you start checking out on humanity, eventually you get around to checking out on yourself. And it's at that very point when you hear people say things like, Well, I never thought I would end up here. I wasn't raised this way. I really do know better. But I just can't seem to care enough to change. I just can't seem to change. And maybe that's where we find this woman. And more importantly, perhaps that's where the Lord found her. Notice a couple things here. First of all, he proves faithful to her. He says to her, neither, because this woman had been, the only interest a man had in this woman apparently was to either have his way with her or to bring her and condemn her. And now a man looks at her and says, I don't condemn you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to use you. I will not abuse you. I will not betray you. I will not manipulate you. And I will not condemn you. And maybe for the first time in many, many years, this woman feels the surge and the wave of love come across her, move her heart, speak to her spirit, pierce her soul. Now, Jesus did not excuse her. He just forgave her. And he tells her, neither do I condemn thee. Now go. I'm not going to stone you to death. I'm not going to drag you down somewhere like some of these other men. I'm not going to do any of that to you. I'm just going to tell you, go. Live your life. But don't sin anymore. Go sin no more. Have a good life. Do right. Follow the law. Be a godly woman. Here's what he's really saying. Go. Have a better life. Go. Find you a better culture. Hey, go. Make better choices. I hope you understand the gospel message is not just a message of excusing our sins. It's a matter of pardoning our sins and changing our life in such a way that we will not go back to the same lifestyle from whence God has called us. It doesn't just forgive us, it changes us. How many know I'm telling the truth this morning? Now, let me say this. You will never change your life. Let me say it this way. None of you are going to, and you shouldn't anyway, just go out and start changing your whole life simply because I said I think you should. Because although I'm your pastor and although I'm a minister, I'm a man. I'm flesh and blood. I hate to say this, but going by my track record, I'll probably mess up by the time the sun sets today. Okay, I hate to admit that, but I know me, all right? I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. I got a long ways to go before I'd ever be called perfect. All right, so You shouldn't just go run out and do something because I think you should. I feel you should. If I come to you with a word, you need to, by the way, you need to, a word's going to come with a confirmation. So if I come to you with a word, you should be able to back it up with the word of God. I should be able to confirm it with the word of God. Brother, this is what I feel the Lord speaking. As your pastor, the Lord gave me a word for you. Now here, and you need to be standing there waiting for me to finish and then get the word. Right. Yes. And show you in the word. Right. Amen? Amen? And if I can't back it up with the word, then you need to keep on praying and waiting. And why could you not just go by my word? Well, I just told you, I'm a man. I'm a human. I'm a human being, just like you are. And some men make terrible mistakes and fail. I've seen men speak words into people's lives that were just wrong. They were just wrong. They didn't intend to hurt the person. They didn't intend to mess them up. They just got a little excited and in the spur of the moment didn't really wait and follow the Spirit of God and blurt something out. And you know, how could somebody do? Because they're human beings. And that's why you have a word that says that you need to confirm the word in the mouth of two or three witnesses. This business, people run into me, well, so-and-so, you know, I had somebody just recently say, well, the Lord confirmed something to me. Now, it wasn't even a confirmation, it was a decision they made. And somebody came up to them just randomly and said something to them. And I'm supposed to be going to do this instead of that. And it's like, you don't make decisions like that. What if so-and-so that just said such and such was just in the flesh, you know, just casually making a conversation? So you wait on another confirmation. You wait on another confirmation. You make sure the Word of God confirms it. The man of God would confirm it as well. You see what I'm saying? Okay, but here's the bottom line. I'm human, you're human. We're all in this humanity boat together. We make mistakes. We misspeak sometimes. So you might say, well, why would they do that? Why would they speak something? They're human. And the person that received that, really, it's on them. They should verify by the Word of God. So you're not going to go out and say, you know, you come to the church and we've never met Sister Linda. And I say, okay, here's a list of things I think you need to start doing, things you need to stop doing. Well, you're probably wondering, well, by what authority do you tell me to do these things? And you may or may not do them based on how much you trust me. But when the Word of God comes, that's why I spent the first 10 minutes establishing for you that God is faithful. And this woman met a man who said, I don't condemn you, and I just sent away all your accusers, and they can't condemn you. Now go and for her to walk in this next command, which is to sin no more, requires trust. You remember what I said a while ago? The Lord showed me, it's been some time ago now, but the Lord showed me that the reason so many people struggle relationally with God is because they struggle with trust issues. And I'm not talking about you all this morning. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But can I tell you that the longer I preach the Word of God, the more I feel that it used to be, I've been preaching 20 years, and I can remember you get in the pulpit and preach holiness, and preach standards, and preach faithfulness, and preach, you could preach it as hard as you wanted, and you'd get a crowd amening you. And you'd see people responding, not just amening, but responding in their lifestyle. You fast forward 20 years to 2018. I'm not griping, I'm not complaining, I'm not putting down humanity. I'm saying this is the reality of where we are right now. Is that it is, you can almost feel the pushback when you're trying to tell people, hey, you got to get in the Word, you got to mature, you can't stay where you've always been, you got to change your attitude, you got to change your outlook, you can't talk about people and be right with God. And you can almost feel people push back sometimes. You can't have ought in your heart. You can't hold the grudge against 50 people in your heart and be dragging that around, be right with God. You can almost feel the people who just reject that. I don't mean y'all. I don't mean you. But more than ever before, you can feel a resistance. And so I struggled with that. I really did. I said, Lord, what in the world is going on? And he revealed this to me. People will not follow the Word of someone they do not trust. And it's not about you, he said. It's about me. People, less and less people really trust God. They struggle with just trusting God at his Word. And it's the same trust that's required when you say, hey, the Lord will heal you because his Word says he will heal you. You got to trust that. It's the same trust required when the preacher preaches from the Word, says, be ye holy. I am holy, God says. Be ye holy. It's the same trust that you have to bring when you say, God, I'm going to trust you to heal my body. It's the same trust as you have to bring when you say, okay, I'm going to trust you, Lord, to direct my paths. You can guide my life. You can check my heart. You can lay conviction on me. I'll follow it. If you don't trust the Lord, you'll not do any of those things. You won't trust him for your healing, and you also won't trust him for direction. You won't trust him when it comes to his promises, but you also won't trust him when it comes to his commandments. How are we doing? We all right? And so that's why I'm saying the Lord showed me we've got to debunk our paradigms, our brain waves that say, I don't think I can trust anybody. You've got to trust somebody. And you got to start with God. Because he's faithful. And for the first time maybe in this woman's life, a man looked into her eyes and said, I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more. And she could say, this man has the authority to speak into my life. I trust what he says. There's something about him. I believe he changed her life forever. Are you with me? You remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4? We won't go there. But you remember Jesus. The Bible says, one little scripture I'll share with you, and that's John 4:4. He must needs go through Samaria. And when we read the rest of the story, the only thing we can find out that really took Jesus to Samaria was there was a woman at a well. And Jesus starts to talk to the woman, and he finds out that he says, go get your husband. And she says, Lord, I don't have a husband. And that was all she was going to share. That's all you need to know, you know. But Jesus already knew it all. Come on now. And so he says, that's right, you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five. That'd blow your mind, wouldn't it? This was before Facebook. Not everybody didn't know their business, see? That's right, you don't have a husband. You've had five, and you're with a man now that's not your husband. Woo, mind blown. He could have went on and judged her. He's telling the truth, but he didn't judge her. Starts talking to her about worship because Jesus' heart went out to this woman. He knew this wasn't just a woman who was just going around trying to find married men. This was a woman who maybe had been used and abused. We don't know that she left five men. Five men might have tossed her out. We don't know. But we know she's on her sixth man at least. And you think she maybe didn't have some trust issues. She's coming at in the hottest part of the day to do one of the hottest jobs that women had to do, which was draw from the well. She did that because she didn't want to be around everybody. She's embarrassed. She's ashamed. She's been judged. And here comes Jesus. Has a conversation with her. If you knew who it was that asked you for water, you would ask him for water. He'd give you a drink of water. You'd never thirst again. Oh, yeah, well, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You say we should worship this way. We say we should worship that way. He said, oh, you don't even understand. There's coming a day when you won't worship there. You won't worship there. You're going to worship. He that worships will worship in spirit and in truth. See? She said, well, give me a drink of this water. I want what you're talking about. I'm empty. I'm thirsty. You don't even know the mess I'm in. Give me a drink of this water. And she left her pot there at the well and ran back to Samaria and told everybody she could find, come see a man. He talked to me like nobody's ever talked to me. She trusted him. You can trust him. But you will never submit to someone you do not trust. You will never follow, commit, believe, obey someone you do not trust. Think about it. Music's coming. But you think about it. Peter never walks on the water if there's no trust. The stone that covered Lazarus' grave that must be removed for him to come out is never removed if there's no trust. The lepers, the 10, remember? They never get healed, never get cleansed if they do not trust the word of Jesus who said, now go show yourself to the priest. Let me say it like this. If God brings you to a Red Sea, the Philistines are on your heels and there's wilderness on both sides, mountains surrounding you, and all you've got to look forward to is a body of water that you cannot cross. Just stand still. and trust Him. And watch your impossibility part before your very eyes. If God brings you to a lion's den, full of lions that are hungry, bellies growling, you can lie down. Right there in the middle of the lion's den, you can lay down and trust Him because He's faithful. Are you with me? If God brings you to a battlefield with a giant and you're just about this tall and that giant looks like he's as tall as the ceiling in this place, you got nothing but a slingshot and five little stones, Brother Southern, and he's got a big old sword and shield and big old resume and a record and never been defeated and growling all of these threats at you. If God brings you there, I'm preaching to somebody. Why don't you just stand there flat-footed, square your shoulders back? What's going on? I mean, what do you got to lose? If God brought you here, why don't you just go ahead and trust Him? You can trust Him so much that as soon as that old giant takes a breath in his threats, you can just start threatening him back. Oh, yeah, let me tell you something, devil. You come to me with a sword and a shield and a spear, but I come to you trusting my Lord. I come to you in the name of the Lord. I trust Him. See, He's already delivered a lion into my hands. He's already delivered a bear into my hands. I trust my God. I don't know about you, but I know this. My God is faithful. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And if He brought me here to this battlefield, He'll see me through to the other side. My God is faithful. If He, stay on your feet if you don't mind. If He brings you to a fiery furnace and you're thinking, oh God, I hope you don't put me in that furnace. And He goes ahead, Brother Bunch, and allows you to go to the furnace. Don't sit down and sing a sad song. Well, here I am all bound, going into the flames, and going into the furnace. And I don't know what I'm, don't do that. I'll remind you that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound and cast, thrust into that furnace that the Bible takes careful care to let us know was heated seven times hotter. I don't know about you, but a furnace is a furnace, but when they say seven times hotter, that's a little bit intimidating. I don't know what that means exactly, but I think we're in trouble. Those cords that had them bound when they went in, the fire that was supposed to burn them up just burned their cords. So if God allows you to go into the furnace and the fire, why don't you just go ahead and trust Him and walk around? Don't sit down and sing the blues. Just go ahead and walk around. Look at this. I couldn't do this when I came in here. Oh, I don't know why God allowed it. I don't know why I'm here. I don't understand it all. But I know this thing. I can trust God. I can trust God. And if you are facing an entire army and God's pared your army down to 300 men, why don't you just take the pitchers? Take your torches. Why don't you just march out there like God said? What have you got to lose? I don't understand people that will not try God. What have you got to lose? I mean, I'm talking about people drinking themselves into a stupor, shooting drugs into their bodies, addicted to everything imaginable. Lives are falling apart. Marriages are in shambles. I don't know if I want to serve the Lord or not. What have you got to lose? You in trouble anyway. Your life's already a mess. And maybe if you try, gee, I just give you a little testimonial here. If it were not for the Lord who was on my side, my marriage would have ended a long time ago. My kids wouldn't be serving God. I would be a mess. I'd be out there broke somewhere. My life might have already been over if it hadn't been for the Lord. But because I trust my God. Come on now. I'm not going to say this bragging, but I'll say this as a testimony to trusting God. My wife, who when we first got married, we were both kids. I've told you before. I was just a kid. I didn't know how to be a husband. She had every right if she wanted to. She could just say, I didn't sign up for this. Go learn how to be a man. Go learn how to be a grown up. But here we are. We both trusted God. Our marriage is blessed. I got a beautiful wife standing there. I've got three great kids. They're all here today except Jordan, who's with his wife out on a cruise. And I can tell you this. My boy and his wife are on a cruise, and I didn't lay awake last night saying, oh God, Lord, don't let them drink on the cruise, Lord. God, don't let them go dancing and gambling. Lord, don't let them put on their bathing suit. I'm not worried about that stuff. They know how to dress. They know how to act. They know how to behave themselves. See, Brother Hawkins, you're bragging. I am bragging. I'm bragging on the Lord. When you trust God and do it His way, there were times where I didn't know, Lord, I don't know if this is the right thing to do. I always had to go back to the Word. It's not easy raising two boys and a girl in the church these days. It's not easy. It's never been easy, but it's getting rougher. So I had to go back to the Word. My wife and I would toil sometimes. How do we handle this? What do we do? Are we pushing too hard? I don't know. The Bible says we better do this. Well, we better just go by the Bible. We better trust the Lord. Amen. Gideon, I'm going to pare you down from tens of thousands down to 300, and you're going to march out there and face all of the Midianites. And I want you to do something absurd. I want you to light torches, cover them with a pitcher, and when the cry goes forth, everybody blow the trumpets and bust the pitchers, and the light's going to shine. And anybody who knows anything about fighting a battle knows that's ludicrous. And so God will sometimes, Brother Barrow, lead you into crazy situations that you do not understand and ask you to do crazy things that you would not have planned for yourself just to say, let me teach you how to trust me. I know you can swing a sword, but can you just follow my directions when it doesn't make sense? Oh, God's faithful. Say, Brother Hawkins, I'm facing some awful thick walls. I don't know how to... Just march. If Jericho's walls fell, yours will too. God's faithful. Without trust, we're never saved. We're never healed. We're never delivered. Without trust, we'll never see a miracle. Amen. If you trust Him, don't worry. Just trust Him. Just believe Him. Don't you love the Lord? Aren't you glad you can trust Him? If you're here today and you want prayer, some of you are going through trials. You're going through rough times. I would like you to slip out from your seat there. Just come down this aisle, wherever you are. Come to the front of the church. I want to lay hands on you as your pastor today. I feel like the Lord would have me pray for you. Maybe you're facing a giant. Maybe you feel like you're in the furnace. Maybe you feel like you're facing a whole den of lions. Maybe you're outnumbered. God's getting ready to turn things around. Come on down. Thank you, Jesus.